Mr. Phil Perry, my friend, how are you?
I'm fine, dear. How are you?
I'm wonderful because I'm talking to you. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. I hope you make it a really memorable night.
Well, I'm going to work on that. We'll see how that works. And you too, my dear. And since
Thank you. And you
have some time. You have some time since you're on the West Coast. You got a little bit more time to get it, pull it off. Well,
you just got a 3-hour head start on me, that's all.
You're right. I wanted to first, Phil, take a minute to just pause and give a shout out, if you will, in remembrance of your friend and comrade, Al Jarreau. I know he called you the real deal. That's kind of special.
Especially coming from you. I mean, I don't want to give a misconception here. He was always gracious and kind to anyone that approached him.
Yes.
As long as I've known him, he's been that way. But he's rather reserved with his opinion about other people. And when I found out that that's the quote that he gave, I was genuinely surprised.
Now, why? I'm sure you felt the same way about him.
Because I don't put myself in that kind of category of singer.
Well,
you know, Al Jarreau has had number one jazz records. He's had number one R&B records. And he's had number one pop records. When somebody like that thinks enough of you to say that you are the real deal, it's very humbling.
I'm sure.
And it puts you in a mindset of, well, since he was nice enough to do that, let me be as close to that as I can be.
Exactly. Oh, perfect. See, there you go. And I'm sure you felt the same way about him, because we, you know, Al is Al. So I just wanted to bring that up.
There was only one, and I've heard a lot of great singers, but I never heard the characters that lived in Al Jarreau out of anybody else.
Well, you're the real deal. He was the real deal.
Whatever the song lyric suggested, he became the embodiment of when he sang the song. Like, we're in this love together. That's a perfect example of where I'm coming from. It's a great melody. It's a David Foster song. It's a great song.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But now, you have a good gauge and scope of the male voices that are out there. Can you imagine anybody covering that?
They better not.
That's what I mean.
I hope not.
And that's why I always gave him the respect that he had earned. And that he deserved.
And that he deserved. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, real deal Phil. Oh, that just goes together. Real deal Phil Perry. I am excited as well about Breathless, your 12th album. I am so excited. I couldn't wait to hear it because I love your music, of course. I mean, all of it.
I actually took your breath away.
Yes, you did. Again. Don't you start singing to me, because you know I can't stand it. So don't you start.
Well, it is cheating, but I will use it at my discretion for my own benefit.
Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do cheat. Now, that's cheating, because you already sprung one good surprise on me that I will never forget for the entire rest of my life.
Well, life is pretty long, and it's full of surprises.
Well, let me tell you, right now, it's going to take Michael Jackson coming back to top that and sing something to me, because, I mean, that's
that
pretty much...
That was fun, though. That was fun.
That was the best one. I'm telling you, that was the one of the best nights. I will never forget it of my life. I'm honest to God.
It was a little under the table, because you really didn't know what was coming.
I didn't have a clue. And every time I look at those pictures, I know exactly. I mean, if expression is anything, then you see exactly how surprised and how enamored.
Oh, yeah, we got you. There's no doubt about that. And the people in attendance would suggest the exact same thing.
Yes, Yes, and they would also be very jealous, as they should be, because I was the winner that evening, and I'm just going to take my little, I'm going to take my, my winner's
actually,
belt.
I think everybody walked away a little different than they came in after that night, so.
And yes, and after that performance, after that song, everybody got, it's, game over, everybody just go home and rethink about what you just saw, because that was incredible. Incredible. You left me shook up, and now you're leaving me breathless, as so aptly titled this album, because it's true Phil Perry. It's why people love you. It's why your fans have been around forever and never will bore. Never, ever, ever will we get tired of hearing you sing. We just like sitting back watching you do it all over again and giving us something fresh.
Well, as we were speaking earlier, we touched upon the blessing that it is to get to do what you love to do.
Yes. Yes.
Your whole life. I have nothing to be, you know, down about.
Well,
I've gotten the opportunity to experience music in every way it can be recorded, from the 60s till today.
And that's pretty rare.
Okay. I've recorded direct to disc, which singers don't usually do.
Right.
But you can't do it over. You got to live with what you did. See what I'm saying? So, in the years that I've been in the industry, I've had the opportunity to record on multiple different analog machines and multiple different digital tape machine, and on multiple computer programs. So my love affair with music could never end, because I don't know what somebody's going to come out with tomorrow. I don't know how it's going to enable me to be a better Phil Perry than I am today.
Well, if you get any better, Phil, I don't know what.
Now, I think I told you this before, but I don't want to be just the flavor of the month.
You did tell me that.
Yeah, you did. I'm not making the kind of music that people can be touched by all year round, I'm picking the wrong music.
Well, now,
if I'm not doing what the people whom I've made my last 8 records with are doing on every opportunity that they get, then I'm the weak link in the chain. So Breathless is different because I didn't try to write everything. I stepped back. I only wanted to be a part of the process,
right,
not why the process was occurring.
Right. Well,
being a part of the process, the music got to shine.
Ah.
Because everyone's contribution was the same. It was all about what we were recording. That's why it takes your breath away.
Well,
that's where Breathless really comes from.
And you say your albums, you know, the music feels like home. Which is very true. It does leave you breathless, and it's an invitation to lovey-dovey, warm and fuzzy. I can see why you would say that. You know, it feels like home. And I know you want it to feel like home.
Yeah. Look, you have to understand. I've been doing this so long. I can say with confidence, how often do you get an opportunity to purchase a CD that you don't care what is played as long as it's from that CD? It's been a long time.
Coming up. Yeah, you're making me think.
When I was a kid, every record was made that way.
Yes.
But it's not done like that so much anymore.
No.
Because there's a different emphasis in the industry than there used to be. The industry used to be all about quality. It's not that anymore.
No, sir. Not in, no, sir. I shake my head and close my eyes thinking about it, but it's the truth. It makes me upset every time I think about it because I am happen to still be here, so therefore I have to hear.
Don't get upset, honey. If you want to change it, pull 3 or 4 kids that you know that live close to you and play good music around them and bake some cookies.
There you go.
And watch and see how their musical taste changes.
Well, you're right, because I do that with my two kids, and well, now they're grown people, but they will attest to, Mommy, thanks to you, I've heard it all from thanks to you. And I say, yep, and I hope you never forget it, because that's music.
You can't make their mind up for them, but right. The least you can do is expose it to them so they can make their own minds up about what the definition of good music is.
Exactly. Exactly. And I know on Breathless, you collaborated again with your friend and mine, Mr. Chris Big Dog Davis. Big Dog.
No, it's going to be me and the dog.
You has got to be, because it ain't nothing like a Big Dog production, I'm telling you.
Well, not only that, but, you know, I take great pride in being able to say that I was the one that gave him the opportunity that he was looking for.
Right.
And when you do an interview with him, you ask him about it.
I will.
He'll tell you.
Oh, I will. Every now and then I see him. Every time I see him, I always mention your name. And I say, look, now, and I'll just say something funny like, have you talked to my friend, Phil? He says, your friend? I say, yeah. He says, nah, that's my friend. And so, we go back and forth. But, yes, he you know, a Big Dog production pretty much when you hear it, and you two work so well together. How do you two keep coming up with such great music? How do you keep it going?
We just make the music the priority, and the music takes care of itself. In doing your job, you can get into doing your job for a multitude of reasons. When you shake all the dust away, those reasons come down to 2. You're either doing this for your own benefit and for your own ego, or you're doing this to make the song better and let the song be what it's going to be.
Right.
It comes down to those 2. Fortunately for me, from the very first recording, it's been a friendship first, a relationship second, and the music paramount.
Wow. Well, that explains how you guys, there you go. I'm almost speechless because
don't
that
tell
was...
Me. Mr. V, stay out of that room. Don't go back to that place that just made you do that because that's a different character. I don't need him yet. Mm-hmm. I want him by himself.
Ah.
In the lead.
Ah, is that what he does, huh?
Yeah. Mr. P, not yet.
Okay. Well, see,
on a tune that I co-wrote on Mesa, he sent me the tracks, the mm-hmm. backgrounds, scratch lead for her to learn what I had written, and I sent it to him from the studio, and he called me, and the first thing that came out of his mouth is, "Yo, Mr. P, 29 tracks. How the fuck am I supposed to do with all this?"
Right. He was like, seriously?
He was joking, but he wasn't really joking. He said, you know, Mr. P, this ain't one of your records.
And I can see him saying that, too. I can see him saying it. I can hear him saying it.
He ended up using almost all of what I did. Almost.
Well, see? There you go.
He made a couple of edits. And didn't use a whole for the elongated part of the phrase. But in terms of the harmony and where I put the stacking,
mm-hmm.
kept it where it was. He just didn't want to have to listen to 29 tracks of individual files.
Right.
Because when I send music over the internet, I don't send them as a 2-track thing only. I send the individual tracks that I did.
Right.
To let him go through it. He's producing.
Right, and let him fit in, and let him put it together.
Liberties that aren't mine to take.
Right. Well, that's fair.
You asked me to do background. Right. This is what I heard, and this is what I did. And then, no, I don't want to sit up for 2 hours trying to subgroup all this shit.
Well,
you know, Mr. B, it's really not your record, Mr. B.
And I can see him saying that, and I'm sure he did, and I'm sure he wasn't surprised, but he was surprised, like, really, Phil, but yeah, that would be you. I gave you an assignment, and this is what I got, because, yep, that would be
and
you.
I had to write the verses. The chorus was always there.
Oh.
That was Mason. He wrote the chorus. But I had to make the story.
Oh.
Now, the next time you listen to Last Chance for Love,
I love
you're gonna
that.
Hear it a different way.
I surely will, and I'm gonna make a note of that right now. So, so as soon as I hang up, I'm going to go listen to it again. I sure
because
am.
Because you have to understand, that song came to me with a chorus and the track and the melody.
Right.
But I had to write the story, so I had to go in another room that he don't like for me to go in to come up with that story.
Right. Well, I'm going to go listen to the story when I finish
this. It was never meant to be a duet, honey. Never.
Wow.
But he called and told me, Mr. P, now you done put me in the corner. I said, what you mean? He said, I can't lose the second verse. When I A-B your verse to hers in the second half of the song, I can't lose yours.
Right.
So now it's got to be a duet, and I told him. So now you got to call Danny and tell him to send me a check.
Basically,
I'll make a wire call.
Yeah, there you go. Now we can talk.
Yeah.
Well, I have seen you two live about a year and a few months ago. So you and Mesa. So that you know, I did get a chance to see that up close and personal.
Right.
So I can attest to the song, but I am going to go pull up again just to refresh myself because now I will listen to it totally different because I have the backstory. But on
I can tell you what? This, the verse that starts with the lyric "Fall in my arms like you wanted to" is going to have a different significance to you now.
Okay, I'm telling you, I'm going.
That's one of them rooms. That's one of those places I have to go.
Right.
To be vulnerable enough.
Right, and
say something poignant and not care what people think.
Ah, well, you know what, Phil? It's funny you say that. I am so glad you said that. Specifically because while listening to Breathless, you know, over and over again, falling in love with it in different ways, different songs catch me different ways. It's
right.
Very clear. I think one of the songs may be, I think the song is either Nobody But You or no, it's Heavens Away. How lyrically, when you said,
right.
You know, I'll go to that place where I don't, you know, where I'm open and vulnerable, and I really don't care what anybody thinks. I can hear that in some of these lyrics because you're saying things that today no one would say.
Right.
And
no
that,
one.
No,
but
no
that's
one.
You don't know one feeling. They ain't going through it themselves. They just ain't telling nobody.
There you go. So what I said when I heard it, I thought, now these are lyrics that no one in 2017 would think is cool, quote unquote, whatever is cool. However, they are real. And everybody has them. Everybody.
Right.
But ain't nobody going to talk about it.
No.
So I appreciate that. And I applaud you. And I thank you for keeping it as authentically virgin, real, if you will, and not give a damn, basically. Excuse my friend. I mean, you just like, this is where it is. Hamlet, deal with it.
It's the music that determines the story it portrays. It has very little to do with me. I'm just the one that gets to sing it. So, in other words, Breathless is unique because I'm just the mouthpiece. I'm not the composer.
Right.
I'm not the lyricist. All I had to do was sing.
Right.
And make people believe that at the moment I was in front of the mic and sang it, it meant as much to me as they think.
Well, my dear, you did that. You did that. And you and Chris and I saw Fred Sawyer also did some writing with Chris. And Timmy Meyer wrote two of my favorite songs on Breathless, which are Do What You Gotta Do.
Timmy's a good writer.
Oh, I've never heard of him, but I tell you what, once I realized he wrote Breathless and Do What You Gotta, I mean, not Breathless, I'm sorry, Do What You Gotta Do and Someday We'll Meet Again with Chris, I thought, okay, well, he wrote two of my favorite songs on the album, so wow. Like, those are my two favorite, but Someday We'll Meet Again, I told you.
And Jimmy Meyer can blow. He's doing the background on Someday We'll Meet Again.
Oh, really?
Oh, and Jimmy Meyer can blow now.
Okay, now, well.
Don't get it twisted.
What?
Just like Al did for me, Jimmy Meyer is the real deal.
Well, let me just tell you, that song, there's a reason why just those two really snatched me. And I know we spoke a little while ago and you asked me which one caught me. And
right.
And it was someday we'll meet again because I just can't stop listening to it for whatever reason. I will never stop listening to that song because if I even tell you if I'm allowed to be like vulnerable for about 2 seconds, if I tell you I have sat in the car, I've drove my car to the park, sat in the car in the park just on a pretty day, it was a pretty afternoon, and I had the CD playing. I was just parked and just really chilling and just, you know, clearing my head. And when I tell you I played that song maybe 25 times back to back, that is honest to God. That's the honest to God's truth. I am not even lying.
Monica, it's a pretty song.
Oh, I can't even tell you. Don't even get me started. It's a beautiful song. It's not a pretty song. It is a absolutely beautiful song, as are all of them. And they all tell a different story, and they all have a different meaning. Like your cover of, excuse me, I'm but joke. Stevie Wonder's "Loves and Need a Love Today." And Rittenhouse,
"Loves and Needs,"
right? And then Rittenhouse, "Is It You?" Those songs,
"Is It You?"
Right? And those are classics. Like you can't, like those are classics, but they're so relevant. They're so warm and fuzzy, and they so make you stop and think. And I mean, not everybody, but every song on this album, from the top with "Breathless" to "Moments in the House of Love." I mean, you close that. You close the album out with "Moments in the House of Love."
Really?
And right. And there's a reason. Now, tell me that reason.
Okay. Whenever Dog and I work together to make a record, or in a recording environment, no matter where it is,
mm-hmm.
that environment, for the time that we are there, becomes our house.
Okay. Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Our house. House. A place of refuge.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Where, no matter what else is going on, anywhere else, in there, you're pretty comfortable because you live there.
Right.
So, how better to suggest to the listener what they just heard and then to remind them of the different places that the music took them, and to remind them that all of that place, all of that music came from one house, from the house of love.
Oh, if I could be a fly on the wall. Oh my God. A fly on the wall in the house of love, like in those creating moments in that environment, because
But you got to be careful what you wish for.
Okay.
Because sometimes creative moments take you to very inside places that most people don't want to become vulnerable enough to stay in for 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
Well, I'm going to just tell you a little something about me. from a one creative head to another creative mind, let me just tell you, I see the purity and the and the strength in vulnerability. See?
Yeah.
That there's a difference.
How can you be strong and if you haven't been vulnerable?
There you go.
Is what you're calling strength or dictatorship?
Exactly. Well, when what's your favorite song on the album? Let me ask you that first. like, I know you like Someday.
Well,
but
one of my all-time favorite songs of anybody,
right,
is One Less Bell to Answer. Because that lyric was written for a woman to sing. But you only have to change a couple of words, which, and that's all I did was change a couple of words. Okay.
Well, and you know, you got Burt Bacharach.
It's an entirely different connotation with a male singing.
Yes. Yes, because that was one I had to listen to. And then say, and then go back.
Right.
I did. I had to.
Because that's a Hal David Burt Bacharach song.
Exactly.
You ain't going to get no better a song than that.
Right. So I had to go back and say,
no matter where you look.
You're right. So I had to think about it. I thought, okay, am I feeling sad? Am I feeling what? So, I mean, it made me question what it was making me feel. That's what it did.
One of the reasons that I wanted to do it is because I asked myself a question that I couldn't answer.
Which was?
I wonder how a woman would feel hearing a man say this about her leaving him.
Ah, slow switcheroo.
Without changing the flow of the song. You know, the original says one less bell to answer, one less egg to fry. My version, I say one less bell to answer. Why'd she say goodbye? One less girl to worry after. I should be happy. But I keep asking why there's no more left. Oh, why did she go? I know how men felt when they heard a woman say that. But when I asked, I wonder how it would be if it was flipped and a woman who had left a man heard him going through that. I wonder how that would make her feel, A, in retrospect about what she left behind.
Right.
And B, what she thinks about her present.
Well, I can just tell you, one less bell to answer, and listen to you sing it, like I said, when I had to go back and listen to it again, it made me say in one way, well, I guess he just told you, like I was like, well, I guess it's kind of like, oh, well, too bad. Like, so sad because you blew it and, you know, oh, well. But then you're saying, but this is one less thing. Hey, this is one less thing I got to deal with.
Right. But I ain't got past the dealing with it stage yet.
Right.
Which is why the question resurfaces, why?
I'm not fooling with you, Phil, because... I'm not fooling
Why?
With you because you.
Wait, you're a woman. Why? Why'd she go?
Well, I don't know why she.
Because a person that would say all of the things that song says would
right.
not be a bad person at heart.
Hello. Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
So then the question begs to be answered.
Why?
Why?
I don't know, Phil. I don't know why. Look, it wouldn't have been me. I wouldn't have left. How about
you? You ain't got to tell. Wait. You ain't got to tell me. You got to tell you.
Oh.
That's the whole point.
Mm.
You ain't got to tell me.
Ah. Makes you scratch your head and question your own self. Make sure you got it together.
listen to this guy that you left. And what he maybe never said to you, and what he's verbalizing, just to get the pain and grief out. And look at where you are now. You better off, you think? Or did you think you maybe need to maybe review your decision making?
I guess it depends on the individual.
It definitely depends on the individual. But at least it spurns the thought.
It does. It's thought provoking. It makes you say,
you know, like, do what you gotta do.
Oh, that right there, that's what I'm talking about.
Whatever it is.
Right.
You gotta do it. Because whatever it is in my life, that I feel like I got to do,
I'm going to do that. Hello. Hello. That's why I like that song.
I'm going to ask for permission.
There you go.
Because it's not necessary. I'm grown.
That's why I like that song and the way you sang it and with sensitivity yet authority. You know, it was kind of that thin line of hey, I'm with you, babe, but at the same time, hey, it's all good.
Like, you know, earlier you mentioned, is it you? Now, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but I sang with Lee Ritenour live for probably 15 years.
No, I didn't know that. Mm-mm.
Okay. So I had to sing that song every night. And what I came to realize about that song is people that hear it misperceive the story to be coming from a person as opposed to a person's heart.
Okay.
Someone just outside knocking at my door. A stranger, somebody unknown. But that same someone is in my dreams. I can't get her off my mind. I'm tired of being alone. If you hear the original version, you'll see how I shortened up my version.
Yeah, I'm going to go back and listen to it.
Honey? It's great. Look. You have to understand, I sang that song for 15 years. I love that song.
Right.
But that song has a whole different vibe on it when there ain't no drums and when it's more backgrounds.
Yeah, I'm going to pull up Lee's version. I'm going to pull it up.
When you do, and when you pull up Lee's version, singing, that's Eric Tag and Bill Champlin from Chicago.
Okay.
Great song. Really is a great song.
Well, you know, Lee is kind of the man. Lee is kind of...
Yeah.
Lee is the man.
You know, we're only born a couple of days apart.
Oh.
In the same year.
I know that. Well...
I have a shirt on today that says, life begins at 65, 1952, the birth of legends.
Ah, well, I think that would be accurate. Just speaking of Lee Ritenour and yourself... God knows who
George
else.
Duke too.
Look, God.
George Duke was born on January 12th.
Oh, well.
So yeah, it's an inside thing, but when you know the story,
right?
It's like all of a sudden, I love that. Now that I know what it's about, I love that shirt.
Right. Well, I'm sure you're wearing it proudly. When Breathless.
I do. Plus, Lily got them for me. You know, she wanted to try it out, so she got a few of them. I got a hooded sweaty and a long sleeve and a short sleeve.
Oh, gosh.
And I love them all.
Well, you got to take a picture and put it on Facebook with your shirt on.
I will.
When you finished Breathless, Phil, tell me this. What was your first thought when it was all, when you had stepped out of Moments in the House of Love and you stood back? What was your first thought?
I don't remember it sounding quite as good. I mean, I know that's kind of a loaded answer.
Yeah, it is.
I wasn't around for the mixes, so I didn't know or need to know the parameters that Big Dog was mixing it in, because I love his mixes anyway.
Right, right.
But there were little things that I remember that aren't there, and other little things that I never heard before I got the copy that are there.
Right.
So it's more eargasmic to me now than it was when I left.
There you go. Well then, mission accomplished. And now that
I think so, you know.
I think so.
You never know. You never know.
No, I'm telling you, mission was accomplished. And now that you have your new toy, like your in-home studio Leo got you for Christmas, and I saw you at NAMM playing around, I said, uh-oh, Phil is about to have a good time.
I just got a keyboard and a Universal Audio. I have a Onkyo 1,000-watt amp that I think I can run everything through. But I don't have studio monitors yet.
Uh-huh.
And I'm kind of torn between a couple of microphones that Lily says cost too, both of them cost too much money. So I got to figure out a way to rat hole some money so I can go get one of these mics and maybe a digital effects processor.
So I know you're excited. Are you?
I am.
I know you are, and I cannot imagine, again, to be a fly on the wall. I can't imagine what's going to come out of there. I just thought to myself, uh-oh. And that's all I can say is, uh-oh.
I'm going to kind of lay down the tunes, and if I think that they're for me, then I'm going to send them to Big Dog and say, what do you think about this?
Right.
And that way, I don't have to travel as much to record a record. Going from the West Coast to the East Coast a couple of times for one project, it takes a lot out of you.
Right. Well, that's true, because if you're doing it in-house, you can just, it makes it a whole lot easier.
Right.
It might take away that house of love, you know, that house and in this one place feeling. However.
No, I don't think it will.
It won't? Okay.
I think the work that we do together.
Okay.
We're always going to feel that way when we know that we're working on one another's stuff.
And that makes sense.
I know it sounds like an uncommon musical integrity, but frankly, that's exactly what it is.
No, I get it. And it makes sense. And even more so, most importantly about that, it comes across in what the listener
hears. I mean, Big Dog is the one that told me, Mr. B, you don't need an 88 weighted key. You don't need all of that. You ain't doing symphonic shit. You don't need all of that. Get you a weighted key 73 Core Cronus, which is downstairs in the box.
Well, you better get to setting okay. That thing up for you.
No. If I do this the right way, I don't have to buy multiple things to get what I need.
Right.
So I'm just going to wait and do it. And then when I have what I really need, then I'm going to go to work.
Okay.
Ain't no sense in starting to do something. And not only do I not have the outboard equipment, I don't have the digital effects part. I ain't got a mic. You know what I mean? So I would just basically do like a demo of a song that I was writing and send it to Big Dog and say, is there something that you could do with this?
Right.
And he would probably say, yeah, but see, I know it. So he would tell me, Mr. P, is it every song you have to send me have to change fucking key? Every one, man? Really? He said, don't nobody hear all that shit no more.
Well,
I said, yeah, but I do.
Right. And so leave me alone and just handle this. So, for now, I know it's just February 14th and we're early in 2017, but what is Mr. P doing in the near future on the horizon?
Well, last night, Mr. and Mrs. P went to Cask and Cleaver and had a lovely candlelight meal.
Uh-huh.
This morning, when Mr. P dropped Mrs. P off at work, he stopped and got a spring bouquet of flowers.
Okay.
I came home and put the plant food in the vase.
Uh-huh.
And put a quart of water in it and cut the bottoms of the flowers.
Uh-huh.
Arranged them and put them on the table.
Yes. Great job.
And I think Mr. P may even make some spaghetti, actually cappellini with turkey sausage.
Okay.
For dinner tonight.
Well, and I think...
And then we'll let the rest of the evening develop as it will.
Do what it do. Are you on the road anytime this summer? Are we taking Breathless on the road?
Yeah, I'm going to be I'm going to do a George Duke tribute at Burke's.
Oh!
In April.
Oh!
And I got a couple other gigs that I'm talking about doing. I'm going to do the Java Jazz Festival again in Indonesia, but not till next year.
Wow. Wow. Well, I know you're very active on social media, and fans can keep up with your tour schedule and information about Breathless. And I know
they're always welcome at PhilPerry.org, PhilPerry.net, Phil Perry the Singer, Phil Perry University.
Look at that. I mean, Mr. P, what don't you have?
What don't I have?
Don't answer that. Don't answer that.
Actually, dear, I think I have just about anything a man could ever want.
There you go. That is the perfect answer and the perfect way to close a wonderful, fun, as always, conversation with you, Mr. Perry. I love you dearly. I know I'll see you again this year somewhere. I got to make that happen. I know I can't recreate.
Have a voice will travel.
Huh?
Have voice will travel.
Have voice will travel. Well, I have voice and I will travel and I will travel. And I'm going to go pull up your schedule myself and see what you got going on. But not before I pull up Mace's Last Chance for Love and this Leave Written Hour song. I'm going to do my homework as you instructed. And
I think, especially in the case of Lee, I think when you refresh yourself with the original and the tempo of the original.
Yep.
And then you hear me and Big Dog's rendition of it. You'll feel the subtle nuances that change, and you'll feel the different vibe from slowing it down a little bit.
Well, you just keep doing what you do.
The thing with that particular tune is, Dog just made it sexier. There's no drum in it. It's just the harmonics and the melody and the background.
And Chris can do some sexy.
It ain't reinventing the wheel.
Right.
It's just the music.
Well, Big Dog can do a song sexy now.
Yeah.
He can. Yeah, yes, he can. Yes, he can. So, you said it just right.
I've done 8 albums with him, and I have no hesitation in saying that there isn't any style of music that he wouldn't be an excellent producer of. Period.
Well, there you go. That's why he's Big Dog.
Period. For me, for my taste, for what I like for music to sound like. Period.
When I see him, he was here.
There's a lot of great producers out there.
Right.
I'm not shunning any of them. I'm just saying, for me as an individual,
right,
the relationship that I developed with Chris Davis in the recording studio
right,
is exceptional.
Well,
exceptional.
Well, keep it up. Keep it up. I know you will.
I'll do the best I can, hon.
You will. You will. I have no doubt. I have all the confidence in the world in you, Mr. P. I do. And you tell Mrs. P, happy Valentine's Day from me. And, what?
Now, are you going to call this girl in New York?
I sure will.
Okay.
I will.
Or are you going to send this to her? How is this going to be played here?
I am going
Are you taking the audio and writing it out? Or?
No, sir. This will be live. I will upload this live myself tomorrow, either tonight or tomorrow. And I will send you a link as well. And I will send her a link.
Okay.
So until then.
Okay.
I like it.
You like the record. I think it's pretty good.
Oh, I like it like that. And until the next time. It's been a thrill.